The Buffalo Sabres lost last night to the Florida Panthers after blowing the lead heading into the third period. Mike Harrington's a Sabres beat writer for the Buffalo News, and he joins us here on the Jeff Blair Show. Mike, thanks for doing this.
Good morning, George. Yeah, that was a bit of an aberration in that third period last night.
Where are the Sabres fans? I live in the Niagara region, and I have my finger on the pulse of Buffalo Sabres fans, Mike. Where are Sabres fans in believing in this team? Are they there yet, or they're still kind of wait-and-see approach?
Well, I think there was a wait-and-see approach even after the 10-game winning streak when they lost five in a row. And they kind of turned that around. They went 3-0-1. Last night's game certainly is a step back. But I think people are believing now that this is a playoff team. I don't think people think this is a Stanley Cup team. I don't think people think ultimately they're going to challenge the Lightning or even the Leafs in the Atlantic Division. But I think people think they can definitely finish third in the Atlantic, maybe push the Leafs for second, and get there and at least, you know, get a series or two, maybe even two in experience-wise in the playoffs come spring.
We know that Jeff Skinner has been terrific for the Buffalo Sabres, scored his 25th last night. And I want to ask you about that report that came out about a month ago that he would look for around $9 million a season because he's heading to unrestricted free agency.
Completely false.
Okay, that's what I wanted to ask you about, because I find it hard to believe, although Jeff Skinner's been great and Jack Eichel's been great and the two of them have made some magic together this season, I find it really hard to believe that Jeff Skinner would be demanding $9 million. That being said, are the Sabres going to let him hit unrestricted free agency, or are they seriously talking contract extension with him?
There's been no discussion, no exchange of numbers yet. They've agreed to simply play the season, get acclimated to Buffalo. It doesn't mean it's not going to start sooner rather than later, but there has been no discussion of Jeff Skinner's contract yet. The Sabres know it's an issue. They're happy to be dealing with it. They're just trying to play the season right now. Jeff Skinner has to know this is the best place for him on Jack Eichel's wing, close by to his, you know, boyhood home in Toronto, but not having to deal with all the chaos that would be involved in playing for the Leafs. You know, that was just a talk radio host throwing an unfounded rumor against the wall, hoping it would stick, and it was completely false. There's been no exchange of numbers. Having said that, it's going to cost the Sabres $8 million a year going forward, on a long-term deal for Jeff Skinner probably. I mean, if he ends up as a 50-goal guy, that's going to be a pretty reasonable belief that that's going to be the number.
Outside of Jeff Skinner, who's been the biggest surprise on the Sabres?
Well, you knew Eichel was probably going to elevate to greatness. That's not a surprise. You knew Dahlin was probably going to be great. That's not a surprise. The two that have stood out to me is Carter Hutton has been sensational, and really his first tour of duty as a starting goalie, and is turning out to be maybe the best July 1st signing of last summer. And that's been a key for the Sabres. The goaltending has really elevated. And the other big difference to me is they have a healthy Zach Bogosian on defense. So let's not forget here, Zach Bogosian back in the day with the Atlanta Thrashers was a number three overall pick. His career has really been derailed by injuries. He only played 18 games last year, and he had hip surgery finally and had to call it a season in January. And he's come back, and he has been the kind of puck-moving physical defenseman Phil Housley loves, and he's made a big impact on the back end, and now he's made a big impact as Dahlin's partner. That's been a huge step up for the Sabres on the back end.
Now, I think a lot of us here, when the Sabres and Leafs played that epic game in Buffalo where Matthews scored the overtime winner, I think a lot of us were impressed with Ristolainen, and he's a guy that I know a lot of people in Buffalo expected more of heading into this season, and he's a guy we see some of those flashes of brilliance. Is it just consistencies may be an issue from him? You want to see more of what he can offer, because sometimes it feels like he disappears some nights.
Yeah, there are some consistency issues there, and he's still relatively young. You know, 23, 24 years old, already over 300 games in his career, and he's had some monster nights. I mean, we're talking 26, 28, 30-minute nights, He probably looks to be a number two, number three defenseman on a great team. Is he the number one top guy eventually on this club? That's going to be Dahlin. But I think Dahlin's arrival has really helped Ristolainen and lighten some of his load, some of the heavy minutes here. But Housley loves him. They love putting him on all situations, and Ristolainen wants to play as many minutes as possible. And on top of that, we'll say in overtime, I want the puck. I want to go to the net. He's got, I think, four overtime winners in his career. So it's a guy that is going to be a focal point for this team for a long time going forward.
He covers the Sabres for the Buffalo News. Mike Harrington joining us here on the Jeff Blair Show. I'm George Russick in for Jeff Blair on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Casey Mittelstadt is a guy that he's had some struggles, and we saw how dynamic he was for Team USA at the World Junior Hockey Championships in Buffalo last season. Is he a guy that maybe potentially needs more seasoning in the American Hockey League? Should he be up here with the big club? How do you think the Sabres are handling the Mittelstadt situation?
Well, I mean, Mittelstadt and Tage Thompson, who they acquired from St. Louis for Ryan O'Reilly, are kind of being developed in the NHL. They have a lot of raw skills, and I think the Sabres feel they can harness them better up here. But you're right. I mean, ordinarily, maybe you might have Mittelstadt a little bit down in Rochester. The Sabres are so thin down the middle in the wake of the O'Reilly trade, in the wake of Patrick Berglund not working out as a number two center in the NHL and now being suspended, that Mittelstadt really has to play here. And he's miscast right now as a number two center in the league. Tough to handle some of the defensive matchups he had last night. They finally made a move with Mittelstadt and Vladimir Sobotka, so now that Mittelstadt's kind of the number three center as it works out. But he's shown some dynamic ability with the puck. He's working hard in his defensive game. But, yeah, there are just nights he's outmatched right now. But there's no question that they think Casey Mittelstadt is going to be a strong NHL player going forward.
You mentioned the Patrick Berglund situation. He was suspended for not showing up for the team. Do you have any more insight on what's going on with him? Did you have an inclination that this potentially was on the way? He was unhappy, or was this a complete surprise to everybody?
He was unhappy getting healthy scratched like Housley did a few times, but the fact that he would basically take his sticks and pucks and go home was a surprise to everybody. The Sabres covered for him for a couple days, told the media he was sick until he didn't show up for the plane to Washington. I don't know what they do about it now. I mean, the roster freezes today. If they could get somebody to take him, I'm sure they would want to do that. You know, I think they should just, you know, ship him on the first boat back to Stockholm. I think it's an outrage that the guy would do this with 3 years left on his deal and almost $12 million. But there's going to have to be some solution here. Can the Sabres go for breach of contract? I think the PA would have something to say about that. Can Berglund ever come back in that locker room? I think the players would have some say about that. So there has to be some resolution here going forward. And he's not a guy that's invested in this rebuild. He hasn't spent 3 or 4 or 5 years here losing. You know, it's just a distraction they don't need.
It's line combinations for the Buffalo Sabres. Sam Reinhart's a guy they took so high in the draft. They had so many expectations, and playing on that wing with Eichel and Skinner has kind of revitalized him. But are we surprised that, I know they tried him at center, he was supposed to be that center for the Sabres moving forward, but is this maybe a place where he'll be most comfortable with moving forward?
Yeah, he's not a center. He's a strong NHL winger. We saw last year he had 20 goals after January 1st, where he really started the season slowly. And the same thing happened this year. He started slowly, but the difference was he picked it up in November instead of waiting until after January to start really playing. And now he's on a long point streak. I think it's 11 games now. He's done a terrific job on the wing with Eichel and with Skinner. And it's become one of the great lines in the league right now. If you were to look at top lines in the league right now, you'd look at Colorado, Calgary, Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo's right in there as one of the top lines in the league, and Sam Reinhart's a key guy. And he's starting to look like there's a reason why. It wasn't a great draft in 14, and he was the number two overall pick. But certainly, there's no shortage of teams right now that would love to have Sam Reinhart on their roster.
Kyle Opozo is a guy. We know the Sabres signed him to that big deal a couple years ago, and he's a guy who only got 5 goals this season, started off the season great, but he's at 15 points, played 14, just over 14 minutes in that loss last night to the Panthers. Where are you at with Kyle Opozo? Are we at the point where he is what he is at this point, probably a third-line player who can hopefully chip in points for you, and that's a contract that it was just a mistake? Or is there still upside with Kyle Opozo?
Well, there's upside from his leadership ability in the locker room, but you can only lead if you can perform. And right now, we're talking 10 games without a point, George, 17 games without a goal. For $6 million, Kyle Okposo has to produce. He has to score. And right now, you know, he's had some opportunities in recent games, but they're not getting anything out of him. And I don't really know what they do. They're stuck with that deal. And they're stuck with a guy who doesn't look like he's even going to be able to score 20 goals anymore. And he had a good summer. He obviously had the situation with his post-concussion issues the previous summer, but he worked hard this summer. He started the year very well, and he's just turned into a, what's the old adage? He's a whole bunch of nothing right now. And that's a real problem for them because that's a secondary scoring guy they're counting on, and they're relying too much in that top line. They need somebody else to give them something. They're just not getting anything.
Mike, before I let you go, will the Sabres be a buyer at the deadline?
It would appear they would be a buyer. They're not.
Is that a good idea?
They're not going to give up one of their extra first-round picks, I know. They might give a prospect. They need help down the middle. They probably could use another defenseman. But, you know, you just don't know anymore. Once you get into the playoffs, you don't know which way it's going to go. And certainly they're not just here to say, okay, let's play the Leafs or the Lightning in the first round and lose in five games, say we had a good year. And once you're in it, you got to go for things. And
right.
I definitely think they're going to be looking to shore up their roster.
How much would people in Buffalo love a first-round series with the Maple Leafs? Or at this point, it doesn't matter who the hell they play. Just get to the playoffs.
Doesn't matter who they play. I think, obviously, a series of the Leafs would be an incredible show, both on the ice and in the stands, if it ever came to fruition.